The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I'm basically stranded at the radio station since yesterday. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So everything was a big old mess. Otto had to fly off to go to work. And early in the morning, because we get up at 3 a.m., we're getting out of the car to come into the studio, and I say to him, please don't take the keys with you. Put them on the counter. And he's like, yeah, sure. Busy morning, as usual. He gets to the airport. Before he leaves, I give him a big kiss. I give him a big hug. I'm going to miss you. You just got back. I love you. He's like, I'll be right back. And then he texts me.
No, so what happened was, first of all.
All of that happened.
I want to shout out my Uber driver, Luis. He listens to the show. He loves us. He says we're all good vibes. I love the fact that he was my driver to the airport. Put me in a great mood.
Luis, we love you.
Yes, we love Luis. So I get to the airport. I'm going, and you know how you have to empty your pockets into the bin?
Oh, no. Yeah. If you've never been to the airport, you have to go through security and empty pockets, yes.
So I'm emptying my pockets into the bin, and I look down, and guess what's in there?
The keys.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
I call Dana, and I'm like, Dana, guess what I have? And she already knew when I called her. And from there, now the car's just sitting at the office.
Sitting here. I had to Uber home. But too bad Luis didn't pick me up. Where was Luis when
We needed him, dude?
What's the deal, Luis?
I will say I favored him as my Uber driver. So anytime he's in the vicinity, we will get him as a driver going
forward.
Well,
you should have favored him yesterday and said, can you take the keys back to my wife?
I didn't notice until I was already in TSA. Sorry. But, yeah, it was a letdown. No, and then when I got here, I had to go to the post office and I mailed the keys back to Dana.
No, listen to this. He didn't ask for a signature. So they're going to put the keys in the mailbox that I can't get into because I don't have a mailbox key.
Dang. The mailbox keys on my keys.
Oh, my God.
So we basically have to stake out the mailbox today to make sure that Dana gets the keys before they put it in the mailbox.
The reason he's overnighting the keys is because there is medication for my stepdad inside the mailbox. So we can't get to his medication.
Hold on. Back it up. So the keys for the – there's only one key for the mailbox?
Yes.
Wow.
And auto mailed them and failed to say – hey, I need a signature on this because once they put it inside the mailbox, Anthony, we can't get the keys.
Listen, I lose my keys about once a year. So I'm not one to poke fun at anybody for getting to put or place keys anywhere. But y'all two are grown adults. What's going on here? How is there only one key for the mailbox, Dana Cortez?
Okay, the mailbox, that's possibly something I should take care of this week. The fob, it's a spendy. It's spendy.
Do you know how much those fobs for your car cost?
Yeah, dude, they're a couple $100. I buy them every year.
Oh, yeah, you buy them all the time. All right, so what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
I made an error earlier this week. I was so excited about spooky season. I said it was horror movie a few days ago. Today is actually National Horror Movie Day or Night.
I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, two times, right? Run it back.
Scary movie. Okay, what's your favorite horror movie of all time? 877-730-DCS1, call or text. Otto, what's your favorite?
None, because I don't like scary movies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the nun. I was like, that's a good one. But you meant nun, like N-O-N-E. I thought you meant N-U-N.
Was a good one.
And I just spelled those words correctly, so today's going to be a good day.
Good job.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I consider myself a very good friend. I would never do something to harm a person that I truly care about. And I feel like Otto and I, we got love for you, Anthony, your family. You're not just friend anymore. And so when your ex-girlfriend, I was hanging out with her. I'm not going to lie, I love her. She's a great person too, but she's not like family. Like, she's not friend like you're a friend. And she is a friend, but not like that. And then she said, hey, hook me up with a good man. And I said, no. No. And you know what I did? I said, I can't do that. We're at a party in front of everybody.
There's a lot to unpack for everybody. Well, hold on. And then catch everybody up. So you were hanging out with our friend, our mutual friend, Jasmine, I'm friends with.
Yes.
She's friends with the girl I used to date.
Yes.
And
there's a little soiree happening.
And you guys are all hanging out at a
charcuterie
party.
Charcuterie boards. Homemade spaghetti was
now,
flying.
Was this the party where you brought over the other guy to meet Jasmine?
Yes.
See? Okay. So now I feel like, I don't think the person I was dating, I don't think Natalie, I don't think she hit you up with ill intent towards me. I think that, you know, she saw how great it went for Jasmine. And so she's like, hey, what's up?
What about me?
What about me? And that's a little bit of, y'all brought that on yourselves because you like to be matchmaker.
So you think she got a little like...
I think she got comfortable.
Envious. No, she got a little envious. Like, oh, why you hook up Jasmine and not me?
I don't know. Envious. I just think she felt like maybe she's in the mood for a relationship and she goes, hey, let's just go to the best matchmaker I know, and that's Dana.
I'm in the mood for being a good friend.
You are a great friend. I do appreciate that.
And now, so I said, girl, I told her. I didn't even hold back in front of everybody. I said, Natalie, you used to be with Anthony. I cannot do that. And everybody just looked at me like, I think that that's in poor taste. I think it would not be a good friend. I know that you would be okay with it, but deep down, you cannot tell me with 100% certainty that you wouldn't feel a little bit of some type of way. Like, really, Dana? Just a little, not a lot. You'd be cool with it, but like, really? That's not being a good friend. I've had people do me dirty.
I don't know if I would feel like, oh, what's wrong with you guys? Because it's been so far removed. I mean, me and her haven't got, you know, intimate since pre-pandemic times. And then also...
But also,
here's my real theory, though. I think she hit you up to test the waters to see where I'm at. Because also, another thing, I know she told you guys a lot of stuff when you guys were all hanging out, but did she also tell you guys that she hit me up, too?
She said y'all were talking.
No,
here and
did
there.
She tell you that she hit me up?
No,
hey,
she did not.
I wish you were here.
Well, maybe she wanted me to hook you up with her.
That's what I think is really going on. No, they moved here for the same reason I did, to get away from a failed relationship.
I just don't think that's good friend behavior.
I think it would be a weird mix
it
of
would be.
People. It would be an awkward...
Imagine if we brought her and her new person around, and you'd be like, oh, Dana introduced you to him? Come on,
yeah.
That's not okay.
I would hope he would be like a nice dude, though, or like a qualified man, because I would hate if you introduced her to like a bummy dude. That would suck.
I would never do that. I don't know any bummy dudes. I've gotten rid of... Though I dated them all and got rid of them.
But
what is
like,
that, Jack? What do you want to add?
Okay, so kind of just a discussion question here. In my experience, at least, what do you get more offended if they mess with you personally or if they mess with one of your possessions?
What do you mean?
So I have a friend from high school, and then our friend group, I think they mess with each other a lot, but I can think of a couple times where they messed with his car. Personally, so it was like an old.
Oh, okay. So you're not 90s, you're not talking
90s
about
beater.
You're not
Honda.
Talking about a relationship.
You're not talking about relationships. You're not talking about canoodling. You're talking about pranks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess sort of like that.
Oh no, we're talking about canoodling. We're talking about grown up stuff.
Love
over
you, Jack.
Here.
Jack. Just going to keep that. Just going to keep that mic button off right
now.
Yeah,
we don't.
Sorry about that.
I love you though, brother. You're good though. I love it. You know.
He's
shout
like,
out.
My friends are hooking up and they're hurting each other's cars. No, our friends
shout
are sleeping together, yeah. Jack.
Shout out to Jack for being a good friend.
He's
I think
like,
he sees
yeah,
me
like,
in an awkward position and he's trying to bail me out right now.
Yeah, my friend Natalie wanted me to find her a sexual partner, Jack. Totally different. And Anthony, I think deep down, would have been hurt by that. You know, because you were with her, you lived together, and it was a tough breakup.
I understand. It was a tough separation.
For both of you.
Yeah.
For both of you.
Both of us, yes. So yeah. I understand, and I appreciate your friendship. Thank you so much for that. Jack, didn't I just tell you to turn the mic off?
All right, what's the dirtiest a friend or an ex-friend ever did you? 877-730-DCS1. Call or text us.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Possibly one of the worst stories I've ever seen. These thieves targeted a church and stole their pumpkins.
Stole
the church's pumpkins.
Who's squashing a fundraiser?
And, of course, the pastor, her name, Reverend Heather Tollison. She was so upset by everything that happened, and put the video out on
Facebook.
So. Yeah, obviously, Otto, right? She was so hurt. She was so upset. She's like, we're fundraising. They give money to food banks and different organizations to help needy people. And here comes somebody stealing the pumpkins. Now, luckily, though, put the video up on Facebook. And of course, it goes viral. So KHOU asked Heather Tollison what happened. You're not going to believe what happened. The thieves came back.
I was not expecting anybody to come forward. They came back twice to make sure that they could apologize pay for these pumpkins. They could have just sent a random donation online, but they really owned up to what they had done.
She says even more visitors came out to show their support and much needed donations were made.
Thousands of dollars in donations, which is amazing because it's going to go straight back into funding things like the food pantry. I hope this just serves as a picture of what community can really be and how we can call one another out and yet still love each other through all of it.
Compassion and forgiveness. She won't even put their names out there. She said, why? They came back. They brought the pumpkins and they gave us money. Why would we say anything?
Somebody's grandma saw the news and was like, and saw that car and saw them coming in and out, was like, you're going to take those pumpkins back. You're going to pay these people. You're going to make this good.
They were planning on giving the pumpkins to somebody or something. I can't remember exactly what it was they were doing. But why a church? You know, it's like, come on. They were raising money to help other people. For the food bank and stuff. I just
Well, let's not act like the church don't be stealing money.
Well, I mean, that's another not conversation. This church.
Not this not church. This not church. I'm sad that they robbed the pumpkins, but I'm happy that they patched things up.
Ah, pumpkin jokes.
Yeah.
I've gotten away with something before.
Oh, you have?
I told my mom yesterday. So, well, I don't know how we started talking about it, but I was always a really good student, but I did like to talk a little bit in class. And me and this boy named Demisio, we were just chatting away, and the teacher kept telling us, this went on for a week. I'm going to send y'all to the vice principal's office. And that meant you were getting a paddling.
Oh, boom, boom, boom.
With the board, with the paddle board. And I didn't listen because I'm like, I'm a good student. She's not going to do that to me. Come Thursday, she did it. And I had to go in there and get paddled. And I mean, I was crying because he was crying. I hadn't even gotten paddled yet. Anyway, they said, take this note home. Get it signed by your mother. So I was like, it's Thursday. What am I going to do? She's going to let me do anything this weekend. My life already sucks. Like, what do I do? So I signed it.
And I
took it back on Friday. And they believed me.
Oh, that's good.
Because I was a good student,
there
right?
You go.
And they said, take this home and make sure your mother knows that you cannot get another warning. And I don't even know what they said. So I took it, folded it up, put it under a rock.
Nice.
Went back years later. It was still under the rock. It was still there. And my mother just found out yesterday. Anyway, sometimes you can get away with something. It was harmless.
I mean, that's more kudos to your ability to do like cursive writing when you're a little kid.
Exactly. Yeah, learn cursive writing. That's the main moral of the story.
I thought about it a lot. I can never perfect my mom's signature.
Oh, I got it to this very day. If anything, the moral of the story is learn cursive so you can forge somebody's signature.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
So MTV is going away. Well, let me explain. And it's not surprising to me. Every time I turn on MTV now, it's ridiculousness.
TV, yeah,
there's no music. It stands for music television.
What's that guy, Rob or what? Rob Dierdick?
Yeah, ridiculousness.
Yeah. That's
or
what I just said.
Some like Jersey Shore off.
Yeah,
I'm mad at Jersey Shore.
I'm not mad at that either. So MTV is not being discontinued entirely, as the internets said, but several of its dedicated music channels are going to shut down globally by December 31st of this year. So the main MTV flagship channel is going to continue to broadcast, but they're going to focus on reality TV and things like that.
They're still going to have some music, they said.
Yeah, and I think that that's smart. But if I was them, when I think of like MTV Productions, I think about Napoleon Dynamite. I think about Juno. I'm like, why don't you go down that route? That would be smart for them to play all those movies
and
also invest.
Movies?
Yes. Those are all MTV productions. There's a plethora of MTV productions that were classics. That's where they should have gone instead of playing ridiculousness every time I turn it on. It's the same one, too. I'm like, how many of these are I get to watch?
Dang, dude. Viacom should have had you in a meeting,
Dana. They should have. They have this woman.
I actually saw the president of MTV explain.
She
said the only
it.
Reason I play Rob Dyrdek and Ridiculous over and over and over is because the only thing that holds ratings. She's like, if we don't play that, then we wouldn't be able to make any money around here.
She's so wrong.
YouTube pretty much got them out of the paint.
Oh,
they
did, sure.
Yeah. The moment YouTube started going
and then streaming,
up, yeah.
It's like
days.
Anytime you had music on demand, it just changed the game.
So you got to change with it. They're like 15, 20 years too late. They should have been leading the wave. Like I said, with MTV Productions, they were so ahead when it came to making these groundbreaking movies. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean,
they
it was
just
groundbreaking
decided
all the way around, because I don't know that I would even become a DJ had it not been for MTV.
Oh.
I would go home. I'd run home every day and go watch Yo MTV Raps.
Yo MTV Raps.
And that's,
yes.
I mean, I had exposure to DJing before that, but that's what really made me fall in love with hip hop, because that was my everyday exposure to
and
it.
And we go back to the 80s with this right here.
I want my MTV. All right.
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV, MTV, MTV.
Yeah, too much is never enough.
Everybody wanted their MTV. That was like a really big deal. It was groundbreaking, like you said.
Also, the popularity of wrestling is also close ties to MTV as well, too.
Yes.
Because that's when, at the time, when the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, now known as the WWE, was taking off, they used MTV's global platform to connect rock stars and stuff. And that's where you kind of first started getting the music artists coming into the WWE world.
I remember Cindy Lauper talked
about
having a wrestler on a video or something.
All my wrestling people know about about it. Yeah, Cyndi Lauper is huge for the launch of, you know, the global appeal of wrestling to everybody else. When I was in college, this was like 2012, I was actually featured on a program they had called MTV Voices.
I remember that.
Yeah,
it was
a really cool opportunity that I had. And they actually featured some of my clips and interviews in Times Square. So yeah, for a year, I was like a global correspondent for them. And the platform is no longer around.
I was on Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Road Rules. That was one of their groundbreaking reality
shows. I was just in the background
shows.
Of that's, some of the shots.
Whatever. That's still pretty good.
But there was a lot of good people. Like Theo Von was on that one.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
I can't remember anybody else. But it was a fun experience, especially to see how it was filmed.
The reality aspect of it is where they really dropped the ball. They were ahead of everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
It was before the Kardashians.
They were so ahead of everything. And I think that they figured they had it in the bag and they stopped working. Like the woman who sat next to Otto when he came and told me that, oh, I just let this play all day. Girl, you single-handedly ruined MTV. You still have to work at it even though you own a space. Keep moving.
I think Dana's going to be trying to become CEO of MTV.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to. It was just such a big part of my life. I lived in a really small town in West Texas and we were a test market for MTV. So for me, it was kind of like an outlet. Like you said, Yo MTV Raps and all of these things that otherwise Club, who remembers Club MTV?
Who remembers Spring Break?
Kurt Loder. He did Real News. This is
Kurt
Loder
with MTV News a long time ago.
A long time ago, but it was real news that connected with the youth of the country, which was super important, but they weren't without their controversies. And this makes its rounds to this day on TikTok and Instagram. It's the moment that David Bowie actually confronted one of their VJs.
I'm just floored by the fact that there's so few black artists featured on it. Why is that? Very few are featured predominantly during the day. But there seem to be a lot of black artists making very good videos that I'm surprised aren't used on MTV.
Well, of course, also we have to try and do what we think not only New York and Los Angeles will appreciate, but also Poughkeepsie or Midwest, pick some town in the Midwest that will be scared to death by Prince, which we're playing, or a string of other black faces.
That's
and black
very
music.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
The fact that David Bowie had the guts to ask that question and the VJ had to give that stupid answer.
I mean, Prince is from the Midwest. My mom used to go watch
him. I
was
like, my gosh.
First dab all the time.
After that happened, though, because remember, they had black artists overnight. Which I'm just going to say, like, Otto and I just sit here talking about Yo MTV Raps.
That was way after MTV launched,
yeah,
though.
Michael Jackson went into rotation with Billie Jean. He was the first black artist to actually have a video in hard rotation, which meant playing during the day.
Oh.
And now it's just a plethora of beautiful music together. You have everybody making everything from country to everything's all mixed together.
So wait, they played music videos and they didn't have any black
artists? No!
Well, that explains why they went out of business. That's okay. These people are idiots. What?
Bad programming decisions.
That's like when Babe Ruth played baseball against like plumbers and stuff.
It literally is. Like, what are you doing? What? It's so stupid. Anyway, call me, MTV. Call me.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I just found out that Lil Wayne never eats fast food. Never?
What?
Never, ever? We're actually going to play his audio right now of him discussing this after we get Celebrity Birthdays Anthony A.
All right, we have Ryan Reynolds celebrating his birthday. And we're wrapping up. Oh, also friend of the show, Miguel, celebrating his birthday as well, too.
Okay.
You may be wondering why the red suit. Well, that's so bad guys can't see me bleed.
Man, two big birthdays. Okay, so Lil Wayne said on his Instagram story that he never eats fast food. In fact, he had his chef, yes, he has a chef, pull over to make food because he was hungry.
You know I don't eat fast food, so we pulled over to cook. You know I don't eat fast food. Oh, no. You know I don't eat fast food, so we pulled over to cook. So we got to watch the cars. Eat healthy, young men, young women.
So he drinks lean, but he doesn't eat fast food. Got it. Got it.
Three blunts a day, but we're going to stop at chicken.
I'll stop it at a McNugget. That's where I draw the line.
That's funny.
Anyway, shout out to Wayne. I got to admit, he's physically fit. I mean, you got to admit, guy has a great physique.
That's how he keeps that frame, as he says. I mean, think about it. He's in his 40s, and he's still built like he's a teenager.
He is. He hasn't grown or either way, like in height or in width. He still looks super healthy. I commend him for that. It takes a lot of discipline yeah, to stay away.
On the road.
You're on tour. Exactly. He's like, pull over. I'm like, oh my God, you could just pull over to McDonald's.
I really respect that too, because for me, I've really, over the past couple of years, cut back on my drinking a lot. And I feel like that's a habit that I've had under control. But I am a celebratory eater. For sure.
Let's celebrate.
Celebrate.
Let's
go. I'll celebrate with some cheesecake. I'll celebrate with a meal. And then on the flip side, if I have a bad night at a comedy club, I'll dive in my depression into a meal too. So
make you feel better.
Yeah, there's also the emotional swing of eating as well.
Yeah.
What are your depression meals?
The same thing as my happy meals, just sad. Same exact meals, bro. Pizza. It's all pizza.
Whatever.
Carbs.
When I think
it's
about
all wiener schnitzel.
Yeah.
Whatever's closest to the ride home.
Yes, exactly.
When I think about healthy people in this world, and I think about somebody who started really young in their career, like Lil Wayne, I can't help but think about Victoria Beckham, aka Posh Spice.
Oh yeah.
Now I can't believe it, but she does not eat sugar ever.
Good for her.
Ever. She
I mean, and she looks like it. I actually just ran into David Beckham when I was in China. He was at the game. And yes, and let me talk to you about famous. That guy, I guess because, you know, I'm a dumb American and I don't realize how popular football, aka soccer players, are. And
football.
Man, people were going crazy over here. I thought for sure Shaq was the most famous person there. David Beckham had a beat.
Well, yeah, it's Bend It Like Beckham. I mean, the man has a movie. I mean, and he married Posh Spice.
There it is, Posh Spice. I was trying to remember what spice it was.
Posh.
All right. My mind's on food, bro. I'm thinking of.
Oh, and she's from across the pond, too.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I think of, for me as a comedian, Kevin Hart's super healthy and promotes
He's
a
healthy
very
too.
Healthy lifestyle. And also Beyonce as well, too.
Oh, Beyonce. She just looks absolutely amazing. And she was open enough to talk about after she had her twins and she was about to perform at Coachella. Remember, she was like, I think she was 50 or 60 pounds overweight. Practicing for Coachella, she got right back on it after that.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.